Thankful, Father, for this evening. Father, thankful for a place where we can meet, Father, where we can come together in Jesus' name, Lord, seeking you. Father, seeking the revelation, Lord, of your Spirit and your Word, Father, at this time for what it is that we need, Lord God. Lord, your people, Lord, that are called by your name, Lord, we live not by bread alone, but by every word that comes from your mouth. And so, Lord, this evening, Father, we yield, Lord, to the Word and the speaking of your Spirit at this time and this place, Father. We receive, Lord, from your hand the bread of life that comes, Lord God, to your people, that refreshes and strengthens us, Lord, in this journey through the wilderness, Lord, of this life. Father, in Jesus' name, we bind every demonic spirit, Father. We bind every work of the enemy, and we cast it out, Father. Lord, we pray, Lord God, for the free flow of your Spirit. And Lord, I ask, Father, for boldness, Lord God, to say what needs to be said, Father God, and that you would bring every word that comes together, Lord, completely and totally, clearly, Lord God, because it's laced with your Spirit and directed by you. So, Father, we go forward, Lord, into this time in Jesus' name, Lord, and grateful, Father, for every blessing that we have in you. Be with us in everything that's done, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians. Alright. I thought we might have been done with this series last week, but I think I want to go through a little bit more. Galatians chapter 5. Okay. I'm sorry. I was there and then lost it. Okay, there we go. Okay. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Okay, so we've been in a series entitled Freedom. Now, God made us originally in His original design. He made us to be free. So when Adam and Eve, walking around, literal, metaphorically, whatever, humanity itself was made to be free. We were designed for that. We were, in the original design and original intention, we were made to be free and made to walk in relationship and connection with the Father at all times. So that's what we were designed for. And so the inverse of that, and the one of the works of the enemy is to enslave mankind and to break that connection with the Father. So it's to twist. See, the enemy distorts everything. Everything. So what is a relationship? He inverts it. What is love? He inverts it. What is it to have a successful life? He inverts that. What is it to have? You know, you just go through each and everything, and you see he will toss up the reverse and then try to put some icing on that crap cake. You know, and it's like, and tell you, you know, eat it, it's good for you. You know, and it's like, but that's what the world is, you know? Okay, it sounds a little crude, but it's like, one friend said, you know, it's a shit sandwich and everyone has to take a bite. And it's like, no, you don't. You know, you don't have to. That's one beautiful thing about walking with Christ Jesus. You don't have to take a bite out of that crap sandwich. You know, that's the lot that the people in the world have, not us. You know, we are a taste and see that the Lord is good. I mean, we get to eat from a different table. We get to eat from what comes from His hand. You know, what He gives us. We eat and receive the bread of life that comes from Him. So we have another source than them. We don't get our provision from that system. We don't get our life from that system. Okay. So God made us to be free. Now, one other thing too that we've established, you know, even in earlier series, is is the kingdom is within. See, we're free when we're in the kingdom. We're free when we're in connection with the Father. So, here, we'll come back to Galatians 5, but Luke 17 and verse 20 says, "And when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, The kingdom of God cometh not with observation, neither shall they say, Lo here, lo there. For behold, the kingdom of God is within you." Okay, so there is a place of inner connection with the Father that if you come to peace and connection within, you step into kingdom. See, most people are not at peace within because there's a disconnect and there's like a big hole in their heart anyways. And because when they're disconnected from the Father, there's this gap there because they were made for that connection. So then they start trying to fill it with all kinds of things. And so they try to fill it with garbage. Yeah, so it's like, so substance abuse, illicit relationships, chasing for power and fame and fortune and whatever it is that what's the world doing? It's selling you that crap sandwich again and again. And so people are like, okay, you know, let me try this. And they go through.
Entrez, s'il vous plaît. Come, come. Hey, welcome, welcome.
Hey. Hi, hi. I was feeling so guilty that I was late, but then that's really not it.
Hello. Nice to see you.
You too, Annie. I'm so sorry, Annie.
How are you?
Yeah.
I love the picture.
I mean, it's so gorgeous. Seriously.
I get to get spicy.
Okay. Come. Ah, she knows how to make friends quickly. Okay. Okay, part 6 in the series. So, alright. Yeah, we'll catch you up quick. Okay, start with Galatians 5 verse 1, which is, alright, I'll give you the 5-second recap. Galatians 5 verse 1 says, "Stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." Right? Then we go to Luke 17, which is where we are right now. Luke 17 verse 20 says, "And when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, The kingdom of God cometh not with observation, neither shall they say, Lo here or lo there. For behold, the kingdom of God is within you." So now, the kingdom of God is within. It's not something that is... See, the world looks for, and the world is obsessed with that which is external, that which is material, that which is carnal. Whereas that which is necessary is the change that comes within. Now, most people are struggling because of the fact that within they don't have peace. Within they haven't come to a place of the big issues being resolved. Within they're not at peace with their Maker. Because no one can be at peace with their Maker until that separation is dealt with. Now, no one comes to the Father unless the Spirit draws them. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." So you have that. So he is that gate. He is that door. You have to enter in and through Christ. So now you're stuck. Either you bow your knee to the kingdom and to the King, or no, you reject, and then you go the way of the world. And you try to, while you're in the system of the world, to... You make it work, and no one ever makes it work. So they just go on from more and more slavery, more and more bondage, enslaving others, being themselves enslaved, trying to get as high up in the hierarchy of the world system, because it's the same system manifest again and again. So trying to get as high in the hierarchy of the world system as they can, because they think that maybe if they can just get high enough to the top, that they then will... now they'll maybe get a breath of freedom. If I can just get high enough on the pyramid of the world, okay, free. Okay, no, you're still a slave. And in fact, if you get, you know, the closer you get to the top of the pyramid of the world system, which is an inverted pyramid, flip it upside down, you're actually digging your way deeper and deeper into your own grave. But is you're hooked into a Luciferic inverted system where the people in the world system that are the stars are the biggest slaves, are the most bound. They have no, there is no freedom there. There never was. See, that's why too, when they see you, when they see somebody that is walking with Christ, they hate you because, one, they realize you're not attached to their system. You know, two, they realize you really are truly free. And they see the light of Christ in you. And like John chapter 3 talks about in verse 19-20, where it says that because, you know, this is the judgment, that the light came into the world, but men loved darkness because their deeds were evil. So they basically see the light, and what do? Put the light out. They do everything they can to crush, to destroy, to marginalize that light. You know, we've talked about that significantly in the last few sets of this whole thing. See, if you're really going to walk with Christ, you have to have a quick crash course when you actually come into connection with Him, so you know what you should be expecting while you're here, while you're in this life. See, most people don't know. So you come to Christ, you start walking with Him, and they don't realize, okay, why now does everybody hate me? Why now do I just was nice to these people? Why now are they shooting at me? There's a reason. The reason is because you belong to Him. Because you belong to Him, they really don't have many options for you. Either they get you to become a slave, and they get a reward for getting you to become a slave and becoming a little battery. Either they get you to do that, or they try to kill you, because if they can kill you, they get something from that too. Or they just try to push you off to the side because you're dangerous. See, your existence is dangerous to them. The fact that you exist, you're like a free radical. You're like a pinball in the machine, bouncing around, breaking everything, because this whole world system is a big deck of cards. It's a big card house. So you being around it, you break stuff. You shatter things. Just your existence, walking around in this world, you actually, just you being there is destructive enough. So now, that being the case, you can't change that about yourself. You walking with Christ, you will expose, you will affect reality. So I know this. So for myself, for you, you know, when you just go into a place because you're walking with Christ, you will have an impact on that place. You will affect people. There will be people that don't like you being there. Okay, that's fine. That's part and parcel of what it is. Because likewise too, when you're walking with Christ, when you experience darkness, when you experience something that's part of something that might feel like separation from God, you don't like that either. You don't want that in your life either. So as adverse as we are to darkness, they are to light. So it's two separate kingdoms existing in a shared paradigm for a limited period. That's all this is. And realize that the world system is their system. Kingdom system is the one that we're part of. And because we're part of the kingdom system, don't anticipate taking root in the world. Don't anticipate a warm welcome from the world. Just leave that as expectation on the side, because actually in a lot of ways it's a blessing that you don't really take root here, because this world is not your home. This life is not your home. You and I are passing through here. Part of the victory that we have, part of the freedom that we have, is to be able to, at any given period of time, let it all go and keep walking. So anything, job, career, relationships, whatever it is, you have a freedom in Christ Jesus. Because, see, the people in the world, they need that connection. They survive based on that connection. They survive based on their connection to the collective and what that collective does. In Sri Lanka, it, along the lines of good contact, no? Yeah, but the perception being, and the way that it works here is based on that association within the hierarchy, within the collective. For us, it doesn't matter. You are an individual child of the Father. And as an individual child of the Father with a direct connection to the head, with an inheritance that you are a joint heir with Christ Jesus, there is it's like, why do I want anything in this place? No, not really. No, thank you. You know, thank you, but no thank you. Entrez, s'il vous plaît. Ah, welcome. Wow. Hey. Sorry. Birthday boy. Sorry.
You.
Come. Okay, series part 6, Galatians 5, now Luke 17, and that's kind of where we are right now. Okay, so God's original intention and His original design was making us as beings that were designed to be free and to walk in connection and relationship with Him. Kinationship, that's my new word. So we're designed for kinationship. Do you have kinationship with the Father? Oh yes, okay, sorry. Alright, so okay, now go back to Galatians 5. Right, because back to the king. Now the kingdom is within. Was in Luke 17. Now Galatians 5 verse 16 says, This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye are led by the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envying, murders, drunkenness, reveling, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And where's the kingdom? Kingdom is within. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Okay, so now this is not a laundry list of do's and don'ts.
It says long-suffering.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, long-suffering means to suffer a long time. No, that's what it means. It's like, brother, what does long-suffering mean? To suffer a long time. Okay. You go through the first half of this, right? Okay, all of these things, you know, the adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envying, murders, drunkenness, reveling, and such like, meaning there's more, you know, but it's like, you get the idea. Of which I tell you before, as I've told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Well, why? Because this stuff, what does it do? Does it help you to go within and connect with the Father?
It keeps you distracted
and wrapped up in a carnal base worldly reality. And see, when you walk in spirit, so what happens for us is like, okay, you connect with spirit. So there was a point in our lives, in our existence in this world, where the Father drawed us. He drew us. He's just like, okay, no one comes to the Father unless the Spirit draws him. Okay, Spirit of God, whoa, okay, wow, I am one of His. All right, you know, whatever condition, wherever you were in the progress and the process of life, whether you were, you know, in some mountaintop experience or you're in the pig pen of life kissing a bunch of pigs, and wherever it was that you actually came to yourself, you know, I mean, people come to themselves at different points, different places, but you were always one of God's. You always had, you know, the other day I was paying for something and I was like, you know, I had these brand new 100 rupee notes, you know, and I was just like, you know, it's brand new. I said, you know, does this count for more? You know, it's just like, it's like absolutely brand new. And they're like, no, 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 it's the same value, this crushed up, crumpled up. You know, they both have the same value, just one's been a little bit more beat up than the other, but you always belong to Him, wherever you were in that process. And just thank God that He saved you from yourself and you actually have a life that you can turn over to Him and be used for however it was that He intended. Cool, great, fantastic. Thank God, because you know what? It was just a matter of circumstance and situation, bless you. It was just a matter of circumstance and situation where you could have been in 1,000 worst case scenarios or maybe something better, but who cares? You're His, you belong to Him, now where do we go from here? Now, walking in the Spirit. Well, walking in the Spirit is when we bow our knee before the Father, when we bow our knee before the Creator, okay, now I am in connection and I'm walking, I'm living in a state of connection with Him. Now the world works very, very, very hard to get you out of that state, to get you wrapped up in all the things going around you at a very carnal level. And so when Paul goes through here and he says, look, that they which do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God, well, because they that do such things, they that are in this are wrapping themselves up in this base reality, they're in a place where it's like, okay, you're not within. You're not going within where the kingdom is. You are staying in a very surface, very shallow reality. Now, and then when you go through, okay, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. The thing about those is that, okay, fruit doesn't, you can't just, okay, let there be fruit. No, fruit grows out of a connection. So if you have a vine, if you have a tree, when you see fruit, it's growing out of a connection to that source of life. Continuous connection there. So these things grow as you are remaining and walking in connection with the Spirit of God. That's it. It's not something you can fabricate. It's not something that you can make up. It's not something where you say, okay, now you will be loving. You will be long-suffering. I am going to have temperance. Damn it. It's like, no. It's something that just comes out of your walk and your relationship and your connection. Simple. But we walk in the Spirit. And as we walk in the Spirit, we experience that. Now, it says in verse 24, that they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Okay, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So, it's a place where we can choose to live, to exist. In Him we live and move and have our being. This is the John 15, if my words remain in you, and you, if I remain in you, my words remain in, wait. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, you will bear much fruit. Fruit being right here. The whole word is interconnected. Everything is woven together. So, now, one thing that we did establish though too, is while we're here, because even in verse 17, you are in this body of flesh while you're here in this world. And this body of flesh that you're in is coded to words. It's coded. It's got sin in the DNA. So that's the one part of you that while you're here, you know. Now, when you leave this body, when your spirit and your soul exit your earth suit, which you need to be here, when you actually leave this thing, okay, you won't. So you have to condition, and you have to also understand that, all right, like Paul said again, in my flesh dwells no good thing, right? Okay, so I realize that in my flesh dwells no good thing in this physical body that's here. So what I have to do is I have to bring that flesh under subjection and make it, again, I'm talking Paul a lot today, but he said, I beat my body and I make it my slave. You have the power given to you by the Spirit of God, Acts 1 verse 8, to put to death everything in you that keeps you from being what God intended you to be. You have the power to put to death. The word there is martus. So you have that power to be able to put to death anything in you that's not, that's keeping you from being what God intended. And then to walk out the life in the freedom that God designed you for while you're here in this world. Now, there's a reason also why, kind of at this stage, that this is really important. Because we're moving into a different time in the history of this world. It's an amazing time. And it's also a time where there are things that God is going to open up and let loose within those that are His. See, when those that are in connection with Him versus those that are not in connection with Him. Those that are His, when, like for example, if you get an adrenaline rush, and that your body, that's let loose by the head. So the head realizes, okay, you need adrenaline in your system right now because, you know, there's something going on and you have to run, or you have to jump, or you have to fly, or whatever. That's released in the system. The whole body feels the effects and responds to that which is being let loose by the head in the body for a specific purpose. Now, if my hand, you know, God forbid, was cut off and set over here, it wouldn't experience that which is going through. It's something that's dismembered. It's freakish, but it's over there. But the body that's in connection with the head will experience whatever it is that is being quickened for that purpose. Now, so the time that we're moving into right now is a time where the Lord is releasing certain things into His body for a specific purpose. It's a different time than what conventional and Babylonian system religion is pushing. They've kind of been on the same numbers game for a really long time. And they missed it completely. Okay. Alright. One thing that there's so many things that can wrap you up into a temporal reality. There's so many things that can wrap you up into a base reality. No, this was just some stuff here. Self-righteousness can wrap you up into a base reality. You can get off into a whole other thing just like that. Again, it's carnal. Again, it's external. what Isaiah 64, 5 and 6 says that, you know, you're right, you're righteousness is like filthy rags in God's sight. Now, I don't, shall I tell you the context of that? It's kind of crude, but it's, you know, you know. Okay. The menstrual cloths that they would use at the time. It's, and then they were like, you know, if they're like riding through or whatever, and then they would toss them on the side of the road, you know. That, like it says, your righteousness is like that. When it says filthy rags, it's like that. So it's like that is like, you know, like our what we do in and of ourselves detached from the Father. Yeah. So anyways.
And that only applies to females.
It's graphic enough to make the point. But again, what does it do? Because man's righteousness is something based on that which is external. So if you have the degree on the wall, if you've got the collar, if you've got the robe, if you have the steeple, and if you have enough people telling you, okay, you're okay, oh, that guy, he's a great preacher because he's charismatic. And you know, it's like, I mean, that's enough in the eyes of men. Whereas God looks at the heart. And God cuts through all the BS and goes straight to the core and says, okay, this one is mine and this one's not. He separates the sheep from the goats. Here, go Matthew 23. Okay. Matthew 23. First book, New Testament. Yay. Okay. Matthew 23 and verse 23 says, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For ye pay tithe of mint and onion and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done, and not leave the other undone. Ye blind guides, which strain a gnat and swallow a camel. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For ye make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within are full of extortion and excess." Again, the kingdom is not without, the kingdom is within. So within, full of extortion and excess. "Thou blind Pharisees, cleanse first that which is within, the cup and the platter, and the outside of them may be clean also. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are like unto whitened sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Even so, ye outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because ye build the tombs of the prophets and garnish the sepulchres of the righteous, and say, if we had been in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. Wherefore ye be witnesses unto yourselves that ye are the children of them which kill the prophets. Fill ye up the measure of your fathers, ye serpents, ye generation of vipers. How can ye escape the damnation of hell?" Wow. This is Jesus talking. Okay. "Wherefore, behold, I send unto you prophets and wise men and scribes. Some of them ye shall kill and crucify, and some of them shall ye scourge in your synagogues and persecute them from city to city, that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, from the blood of the righteous Abel unto the blood of Zacharias, son of Berechias, whom ye slew between the temple and the altar. Verily I say unto you, all these things shall come upon this generation. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stone them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate, for I say unto you, ye shall not see me henceforth, till ye shall say, Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord." Okay. Again, you know, it's not just, okay, here's this laundry list of, don't do these things. But here's again, another entire set of the same thing. You know, it's like, you know, outside you look right, but within, there's all of these things going on. And Jesus was really mad at these guys too, because he said, look, you guys shut up the kingdom from those that you don't enter in, and then you keep those that want to enter in from going in. So he had a real problem with these guys, because what happened was there were people that were looking for connection with God. They really wanted that, and they were bait and switched. Have you know that term, right? In marketing, bait and switch. In marketing, so like if I say, I've got this super guitar that I have, I'm going to be selling, and it's at the store, and it's for $100. Oh, $100, wow. And people come from all over because they're like, oh, there's a guitar there for $100. And then they show up and because they were baited. And then when they get there, it's like, wait, that's not the guitar that you advertised. It's something else. They swap in something else. So they switch out something else that you weren't anticipating, and you're given that, and you sold a false bill of goods. That's, again, what happened in this context with these people, is their people were coming because they had, they were dealing with the agony of being separated from God, and there were those that came to those that seemed to be the ones that should have the answer, and they came to them saying, okay, you know, they wanted to enter into the kingdom. And what these guys did was they substituted something else and gave them a system of man-made social controls that they put on them. So they, the leaders themselves, weren't entering in. And those that wanted to, they didn't let them either. What they did was they gave them and said, okay, here's your list of do's and don'ts. Let's go back to just even that Galatians chapter 5. Okay, don't commit adultery, don't fornicate, don't have idolatry, here's all your lists of things. But they missed the very fact of what that's all about. That very scripture right there, they missed that fact. Instead, they're like, okay, are you not doing these things? Are you not doing these things? Oh, we checked. Did you come to... And then let me add a few more on there. Did you come on Wednesday? And did you come on Friday for the miracle service? Because we always have a miracle service. And did you come on Sunday? And did you check the roster? And were you at the cell group? And were you at the... And you missed. You missed. You didn't. You weren't there. You were really worried about you, brother. We heard. We think you're backsliding. Yeah. I mean, what is it? What are people sold? They're sold. They're you wrapped up into, again, back to Galatians 5. Christ made you free. Be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Now, when we did that series on the world, one thing that we established very clearly was, we got a pretty good understanding of what the body, the beast body of the world system was. And then the different manifestations, the different heads that come off of that thing. Once you understand kind of what the framework is, when you see it, you know, and then we talked about what it was in the political system, what it was in the economic system, what it was in the religious system of the world, what it was in the entertainment system. And when you start understanding how that body is shaped, then you just see it again. It's like, okay, same song, different verse. It's the same thing. It's the same thing again and again and again. It's just a new manifestation of, or it's a different manifestation of the same thing. So even the world religious systems, including the religious system of Christianity, which is different than the way. Jesus Christ came to establish and to set up his kingdom, and he is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by him. Not no one comes to the Father except through the Christian church. And to make that distinction and to make that divide, because the very same Pharisaic attitude, stance, placement that was there in Jesus' time, that thing did not go away. It's just changed its title. And now you have it manifest in so many different religious forms, including the religions and all the denominations that are in the Christian world. You know, there's over 30,000 different denominations. 30,000 denominations in the Christian world. There's one up on the website that's in the banned sermons category, and it's, the title of it is "The Whore and Her Daughters." Now, the reason, and you have to actually listen to the audio to like get it, and all the notes are there, all the visuals are there, and I've had so much flack over that one and so much really positive response over that one too, because basically scripturally we break it down, I mean, to the nitty gritty everything of really the way that the world religious systems manifest. And we go through, you know, Catholicism and but also the denominational movements, because the very nature of a denomination is division. And the body of Christ is not divided. There is no division in Christ Jesus. And whenever you are walking with Christ, if you meet a brother, you meet a sister in Christ, you're like, ha, there's another real one. Ha, okay, there's one. You meet one. It's just like, I don't care what your title is. I don't care if you call yourself a Buddhist. Are you connected with the Father? You know, there's a friend of mine. He carries the label Buddhist, right? But the first time that I met this guy, I was just like, it's like, wow, there's a brother. I mean, like, you just, there's a spirit connection with this guy. And we were just talking, and you know, it was like, and like a number of days into just hanging out and talking, and then one time he's like, you know, Govinda, he says, you know this, what the Bible says about, you know, Jesus, you know, being the Son of God and the way to the Father. And he's like, you know, I really believe that. You know, I really, that, yeah, I agree with that. That's really, it's that really sits right with me. I'm like, yeah, of course you do. Because, you know, from the moment that I met this guy, I'm like, this is a brother. And because in his own heart, he doesn't carry the label. He doesn't need to carry the label. Because he's in connection with the Spirit. And he's got all of his hang-ups and all of his other things, but he's one of God's. And if people can cut through that, and there needs to control people, there need to get everybody to come to the meeting. That is the cry, by the way, of the Pentecostal movement, is come to the meeting. It is the cry of the Pentecostal movement, come to the meeting, come to the meeting, come to the meeting. You know, where Jesus said, go, come to the meeting.
No, that's like come to the performance.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that would be good. Don't go there. That's okay. Now here's another thing too about all of this. See, the world system again. All right, you can't love God and money. Yeah, you know, Jesus was very clear about that. And again, too, there are, for us, you know, our God, our connection, our source is Him. The world system is very carnal, very base, power, position, pleasure, and you know, that's really what they're pushing for. Now, okay, John chapter 10. John chapter 10. Okay. All right. Actually, I want to start at verse 1. We've got time. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. Wow, I love the way that Jesus talked. I really love the way that Jesus talked. I don't hear people talk like this. Okay. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, that I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door by me. If any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Excuse me. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. He that is an hireling, and not the shepherd, whose own sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. It's his job. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep, and I am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold. To them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it up again, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Right. So we get that same choice too, which is to lay down our lives. And we get that. We are allowed that. You can lay down your life at the foot of the cross. You can take up your cross and follow Him. You're allowed that. You're given that freedom. Or you can choose to reject that. You can choose to try to find something in this world, but if you try to find that in the world, you will miss the abundant life that God intended for you, that God is offering to you. So, now let's deal with the hireling a little bit. The hireling is, he will stand in a similar position as a shepherd. He will look like a shepherd. He may talk like a shepherd, but there's a difference in the heart between the hireling and the good shepherd. There's a difference in the heart of the hireling versus the one that has a love for the sheep. Because the hireling does it because there is a financial, monetary, personal, selfish benefit. Whereas the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. So when the time comes and there's something on the line, the good shepherd's he's thinking about the sheep. He puts himself in harm's way for the benefit of the sheep. Whereas the hireling, when he sees that the hope of making something off of this is gone, he's gone. Or when danger comes for the sake of the sheep, he's out of there. So it's a money game. It's a numbers game. You know, the word minister means you're a servant. And Chandler was speaking recently too, and the context of a minister is also one that serves for free. So if somebody's truly a minister of the gospel, they're really, you are a minister of the gospel, you don't take a paycheck from this. Now, if people chip in or something like that, and they're like, you know, they're moved by somebody's whatever, but there's no motivation in that whatsoever. And God creates and allows opportunity. Why was it that Peter was a fisherman, Paul was a tent maker? Paul continued to make tents. You know, part of the reason, you know, why Paul didn't exercise certain things that, you know, people thought were his legitimate rights is like, because he didn't want to take away and distract from what the message was that the gospel entailed. Now, I know that this is like, because this is a billion-dollar industry. You know, the most powerful ministers of the gospel that I know all do it for free. I mean, I know people that move in the power of God. Amazing prophetic ministries, amazing gifts of healing. I mean, just, it's like the power of God flows through these people, and they do not take a paycheck. Whereas I know the canned, established, 501c3, dead as a doornail, you know, you can sit there for 25 years and you will be stuck in the same thing that you were before. There's nothing there. And the reason I know there's nothing there is I will sometimes pass through 5 years afterwards and see the same people in the exact same place as they were before. And they will come up to me and they'll say, you can recognize spiritual growth. You can tell when you've met somebody that's growing in the Spirit and walking with the Spirit of God. You can tell when you've met them and then you've have some time apart and you meet them again, you can tell when somebody has grown. It talks about even Jesus, that he waxed, or John the Baptist, that he waxed strong in spirit. Here, let's go there. Here. I was reading this the other day. Okay. And if I can find it. Actually, wait. No. Sorry. Luke. The book of Luke and Zacharias is praying in verse 67. Zacharias is filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied saying, blessed, and he's prophesying after the birth of John. And when you jump down even to, so you can read that on your own a little bit later, but and verse 76 says, and thou child, speaking of John the Baptist, shall be called the prophet of the highest. For thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his way, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people, by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness, and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. And the child grew, John the Baptist grew, and waxed strong in spirit, and was in the desert till the day of his showing unto Israel. Now the desert is not a happy, welcoming place. And God puts many of us in the desert wilderness experience. In fact, if you are a true child and son of God, your life will be wilderness by and large. You will be in a wilderness experience as you are pilgrim journeying through this life and through this world. But in the wilderness, John the Baptist waxed strong in spirit. He grew strong in spirit. And so when people met him, you can tell. When somebody's been walking with the Lord, when somebody's been experiencing a relationship and a connection with the Father, and they've been trusting him, because faith and trust is the same word. In the Aramaic, it's the same word, as you can swap out when you go through that Hebrews chapter 11, you know, wall of fame for all these people. By faith, such and such did this. By faith, such. By trust, it's the same word. By trust, these people. So when somebody's come through and they've trusted God through all of these things, there is a strength and a fortitude because they've dug deep in the rock, which is Christ Jesus. They know him. They know him in whom they have believed and are persuaded that he is able to do exceedingly abundantly past all they could expect, imagine, think. Yes. So, versus the hireling, which is someone that is in a position because he sees a tangible, material, outward benefit. And he can refine that job to a T, and those that don't have a heart for truth can't tell the difference. Now, speaking of seeker-friendly, let's go to John chapter 6. Because Jesus was all about the seeker-friendly church, wasn't he? So, okay, Jesus, seeker-friendly, John chapter 6, verse 61. When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, doth this offend you? What if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. And he said, therefore I say unto you, that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. From that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with them. Oh, wait, come back. Come back, we'll have a special Christmas program for you. Come back. Don't go away. Don't go away. No, wait, wait, wait. I didn't mean it. I didn't mean it. No, wait. No, what did Jesus do? Verse 66, walk no more with him. And then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye go away? And then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. There it is. You got the truth. And that's what we want. That's why we're here. So you're down to 12. Okay, we're not going anywhere. Big crowds. And now you give them the truth. And where did they all go? No, they went to the hireling. Because what does the hireling do? The hireling will give you exactly what you want. Now, jump forward to what Paul warned even to Timothy. He's like, he said, you know, in the last days, that people will surround themselves with teachers that tell them what their itching ears want to hear. So you get people now that are hirelings, and people will want somebody to tell me, I want someone to tell me that I'm okay in my little thing, in my own selfish little world, so I will pay you. And now somebody stands up there and says, I will be the man that takes your pay and tells you that you're okay. Because here's my degree on the wall. Blind leading the blind. Blind guides. And you can spend your next 30 years of life in this little dog and pony show where, okay, I'm okay, you're okay. Pop psychology. Let's go week to week. Did you go to the cell group? Did you go to this? Did you go? I'm sorry. Did I?
I kind of went recently some interview with Madonna saying that all religions need the same God.
Yeah. If some, well, actually, probably. She's probably right there. All religions do probably lead to the same God, but it's not Jesus. No, if you're seeking truth, that will lead you to the same God. One God. Because there is only one truth. There is only one way. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus, do you notice that Jesus, when he came, he didn't come and set up a religion? In fact, he told them, there's a time's going to show up when they will kick you out of the synagogues. They'll kick you out because of what's in you. The only reason they were called Christians was because, and they were called Christians at Antioch, because they were so much like this person, Christ. Christian like means little Christ. Little one in the order of Christ, little anointed ones. So it's like, here's this Christ guy, the anointed one, and here's all these people that are just like him, running around. So it's like, these are Christians, these are little Christ running all over the place. Not because it was a religious label. If anything, they probably intended it as an insult, which stuck. So we are followers of the way. Now, you know something that happened, and this, you got to go to the book of Jude even to see this, because Jude even is dealing with this in the very first churches that were there. And he said, look, at the very, very start, certain men have crept in as unawares. This happened at the very start. Even the very church of Paul, this happened in. At the very start, Paul tried to establish and put together a structure, and it didn't work. You got to keep going through the whole thing. It didn't work. The fact that it didn't work is why you have the book of Jude. Let's look at the book of Jude here. Let's go. Book of Jude. Book of Jude. Jude. Right before Revelation. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, the brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called, mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and to exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men, hirelings, crept in unawares, for there were certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation. Where did they creep in? They crept into the church. Okay. There are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though ye once knew this, how the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterwards destroyed them that believed not. And the angel which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains unto darkness, unto the judgment of the great day. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah, and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication, and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speaking evil of dignities. Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. But these speak evil of those things which they know not, but what they know naturally as brute beasts, in those things they corrupt themselves. Woe unto them, for they have gone the way of Cain. They ran greedily after the heir of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Kor. These are spots at your feasts of charity, when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds they are without water, carried about of wind. Trees whose fruit wherewith without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots, raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. Well, these are crept in as unawares. This inside, not outside, inside. Okay, let me keep going. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches, which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lusts, and their mouths speaking great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. Good contact, no? Okay. Persons in admiration because of advantage. But, beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. How that they told you there should be mockers in the last times, who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. But ye, beloved, building up yourself in the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some have compassion, making a difference. And of others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. Book of Jude, thank you, Jesus. Okay. Why? Verse 24 also, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. Why this admonition being written to the early churches, certain men having crept in as unawares, Paul even warned about this. He said, look, I know after I take off that there's going to be wolves that creep in among you. Yeah, it happens. Anytime you get 2, 3, 4 of us in a single spot, the radar goes off on the devil's battleship and he sends in somebody else to join the group. We've seen that here. And this little tiny thing that we do and then we put it up online. We've seen that. The enemy will send something in there. And when you have a man-made system that's not directed by the Father, man-made structures, they will work up in the hierarchy, get the votes, garner the whatever, so that they can be something in that system. And you give that a generation, and then what do you end up with? Where's God in that whole thing? See, we're in a time right now, and Matthew 24 talks about even the you know, as things get closer towards the end, we're definitely in the time, well, okay, you have the time of the eagles, for sure. The children of God in this day and age, if you were to compare them to some sort of living being, we would be like eagles. At this stage, this time, this place. That is definitely what we're like. And you have the storms of life raging, you have all these things coming at us, and we soar above it all. And even where it says, you know, where the carcass is, the eagles will gather, where the fresh meat is, where the fresh, where that, the eagle doesn't eat, it eats something that's fresh, it doesn't go after these cadavers. It's a different kind of bird. We see what's going on. We hear what's going on. We are above this whole thing. So we live in a different place. Again, and even here too, when Jude is writing, same admonition that Paul wrote in Galatians 5. You know, be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Always the desire to, when you have people that are free in Christ Jesus, to get them enslaved once again. And so you have people that creep in, that come in, and their purpose is to enslave. Now, one way that's done, and this is a very easy way that you can spot these people, is are they promoting a human personality? Anytime that I see such and such ministries.com, it's like, wait a second. You know, I mean, I'm starting to ask myself, why? Are you a rock star? You know, what's going on here? Why is it? Because the goal, Ephesians chapter 4, the whole thing with Ephesians chapter 4 is, look, the whole purpose that anyone has, if you have a perfecting gift, is to help people for a limited window of time to get on their feet, to stand up strong, so that they themselves can follow Christ for themselves. Never, ever, ever should you be trying to get people in a box and keep them there for the next 30 years. Now, the people that do that is the hireling. Why? Because as long as the sheep are around, he's got a paycheck. You know the early church? You look at the church of Antioch, you had 40% of your leadership just like that having to leave. Church of Antioch, you got 5 people that are, you know, at the helm there. God's put them in positions of responsibility, and then all of a sudden the Spirit of God speaks to them and says, okay, set aside Paul and Barnabas for the work I've got. They're off for 2 years. They may not ever come back. Maybe they'll stay away for 5, 6, 10, 20. Oops, didn't see them. They just went on to the other side. I'll see them on the other side. No, the fear of that kind of response. When you have people that are actually connected with the Spirit of God, you will be like that. John chapter 3 talks about us being like the wind. Jesus speaking about those led by the Spirit are like the wind. Shall we look? We'll look really quick. We'll finish up pretty fast. Okay. Let me just check. Gosh, time goes so fast. Yeah, okay. We started a little bit late, so I'm going to take my liberty here. John chapter 3. Verse 5 says, verily, Jesus again talking. Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, says in verse 5, Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto you, unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whether it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Wow. So if you're born of the Spirit, you are like the wind. And you go where the Spirit of God leads you. You do whatever He tells you to do. You live in that connection, in that place. And since you are set free by the Spirit of God, you will not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. But you seek to go deeper and deeper and deeper within. You know, like it's like the onion, that whole thing about, you know, it's like you just, each time you go past a layer, each time you get closer and closer to that core. And with you and with I, when you have the person that you are and the Spirit of God, you are in the hand of God now and He's working with you. And as He takes you deeper past each layer that you have of whatever hurts and pains and things that you've had to deal with and all of that, when you finally get to the core there, there is the consummation of you in the Father. The Father in you, John 17. There's, here, we'll close with this. John 17. And verse 20 says, neither I pray for these alone, but for them which shall believe in me through their words, which is us, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that I have sent, that thou hast sent me, and hast loved me as thou hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Okay. So God is working out in us, also part of our journey of life, is a consummation with the Spirit of God. A whittling away of everything that we are apart from Him, where the only thing that remains is Him. Not an extension of a denomination, not a man-made system of rules, regulations, and control, but a real life adventure that you live out here, where you go where He tells you to go, you do what He tells you to do, you walk in the Spirit. You don't gratify the desires of the flesh, but you walk in the Spirit, and as He is leading you and guiding you and directing you, you experience the abundant life that He intended for you to have. You trust Him for your provision. You trust Him for your protection. He takes you through this whole thing. You were designed for this. Perfect love drives out all fear. So if you're scared, bow before Him and say, Lord, help me overcome this. Because I really want what you intended for me in the first place. I want that. I know it's there. I know it's being offered. So you came that I might have life and that I might have it more abundantly. So I choose it. But help me. And you know what? It starts even, you know, any journey. What is it? The proverb. A journey of 1,000 miles begins with a single step. You know, it's like it starts with that first step. And so when a person bows their knee before the Creator and they ask Him, Lord, would you show me? Would you lead me? He shows. And then that first step that He takes, you just take that one. Because when you're taking that step, you're taking a step out of bondage and into freedom in Christ Jesus. And as soon as people see you doing that, everyone that stays behind, everyone that's scared of that, will be doing everything they can to get you back from where you just went. But you can't. You can't. If you're going to follow Him, if you're going to follow the voice of the shepherd, you then keep going. And one step turns into a next, and the next step turns into the next, and pretty soon you're walking. And you're walking in the Spirit, following the voice of Him. He is leading you in a path of freedom, and he's leading you in an amazing adventure of life. And with that, we stop there.